morning. Let's pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So what I was just going to say is, don't advance to the next slide till I tell you. Cool. Okay. Okay. Oh, he's back. It's okay. But don't advance till the next slide till I tell you. The last 5 weeks, we've been talking about the covenantal God. Have we not? Yeah. We really get a good sense. And I'm hoping that you really get a good sense of who God is. God has not changed. Have you noticed that throughout this whole time? You know who else hasn't changed? We haven't changed in our humanness, in our sinfulness. We just try and try and try and try again and again and again. And it's just so hard for us to change because of our humanness. And God doesn't change because of God's divineness. So I want you to close your eyes. Oh, don't close your eyes. Sorry. Keep them open. We're going to advance to the next slide. But don't go too quick, okay? We're going to hang out on this slide for a while, got it? Okay. So I want you right now to think of a person that you have made, maybe had a discussion with, someone like this. Ready to hear the characteristics? Do I need to move? I will. It's a person who is firm, steadfast, determined, relentless, single-minded, unchanging. I see laughter. I love it. Unyielding. Unwavering, obstinate, uncompromising, insistent, adamant, staunch, dogged, tenacious, and has strong resolve. Now, I see laughter on people's faces, so that clearly tells me that you've been able to identify somebody who has those characteristics. Have you ever had a discussion with someone like this? Do you know someone in your family, maybe, who might be like this? Don't turn behind. If you're with family, don't look around. Do you know someone who digs in their heels on a subject? How is it when you get into an argument with someone like this? Do you ever feel like you can never win? Because isn't that the point of an argument? Why do we really have arguments? Because we want, there's a winner and there's a loser. I'm right, you're wrong. That tends to be what goes on when we have arguments. Not saying that it's the correct way, but that's what happens. Sometimes, in order to preserve a relationship with someone, we will ban subjects that will not be discussed. Would we agree to that? Yes. I know within my family there are certain subjects that will not be discussed. Now, we teach our children two things about life. What are the two things that we know are for certain in life?
Taxes and death.
Death and taxes, right? We say those are the two things in life that are certain. What are the two things that we are taught never to discuss?
Politics.
Boy, we knew that one, didn't we? Now, what do polite people not talk about? Do you remember this one? What do polite people not talk about? Oh, age. I heard age back there. Money. Did you ever hear that one? Yeah. Polite people don't discuss money, do they? So, I'm going to go back to the politics and the religion. Why is it that we have that rule? I mean, this rule has been passed down for generations to generations, right? I can hear my father saying it. I'm sure his father said it to him, et cetera, et cetera. Why is it that we don't talk about politics and religion? Because these are deep heart matters and issues that we are passionate about. And might you say we might tend to be a little bit like this, inflexible when it comes to these subjects? And we know that these are two subjects that can destroy relationships if they're not handled properly. They're places where hurt can happen, and we're humans. We're not perfect, and hurt happens. Now, I'm going to move a little bit away from that, unless we have couples arguing over religion and politics. But usually, when there is an argument, let's just say, between couples, it usually has to do with when one person hurts the other person. Sinfulness, right? What automatically happens to the person who has been hurt? The defenses go up, right? What happens to the person who did the hurting? The defenses go up. Yes? And there just seems to be this argument. And eventually, when you're going back and forth, and we know that happens, eventually forgiveness is asked if it's not asked right away, right? But in our arguing with each other, do you ever notice how the person, before they say they're sorry, they start to bring up stuff from the past? In counseling, especially in couples counseling, one of the first things is, don't bring up the stuff from the past, right? How hard is that to do? Of course, we need something to fling back at the other person, don't we? So we, even though we may say we forget, do we really forget? No, we don't forget. We remember those things. So first, when we do have our arguments, and it's fun, I'm seeing laughter on people's faces, because we can all recognize ourselves in these situations. The very first thing, we ask someone forgiveness. If they flat out say no, they're never going to forgive us for what happened. Boom. The relationship is right then and there broken. Healing is not going to happen right there. But what if they say, yes, I forgive you? The next question is, will you forget? Will you not remember? If the answer is no, if we say, I can forgive, but I cannot forget, I will always remember this, then the relationship is strained. But what if someone says, yes, I can forget? Do you know anybody who is able to not remember hurting someone else or not remember being hurt? I'm going to say the being hurt. No, because we're human. We hold on to these emotions. I mean, who can really forget? If you've been deeply wounded and wounded to the core, it is hard to forget. Sometimes when you see that person, it may come up at different points in time. We certainly know it comes up because we fling it back at the person, even though we've forgiven. Just when we think that we're capable of forgetting, we recognize that we can't forget. I remember having a conversation with someone who was deeply, deeply, deeply wounded. And this person said, I don't understand how someone could do this to me. How could someone be so heartless? And it's someone that I knew very, very well. And I said to the person, it's the same thing that you actually did to someone else. You see, when we get wounded, we feel it. A lot of times we don't feel when we are the ones who are doing the wounded. So who can really forgive and forget? In order to forgive and forget, you need to be these things, don't you? When it comes to the forgetting part or the not remembering. You need to be firm. You need to be steadfast. You need to be determined and relentless. You need to be single-minded and unchanging that you will not remember. You need to be unyielding. You need to be unwavering. You need to be obstinate, uncompromising, insisting, I will not remember. Adamant, staunch, tenacious, dogged. You need to have the resolution that I will not remember that this person has hurt me. Who can do that? Okay, let's go. There it is. God can do that. And in fact, God does do that. Because when it comes to our sins, it is only God who can forgive. And this morning, I know my mic wasn't on, but it was, and I will not remember their sins. My gosh, sometimes we just gloss over that part and we focus on the forgiveness and we forget what God said. And I will not remember their sins. When it comes to our state of humanness, God forgives and God forgets and doesn't remember. When God looks at us, God forgives and God doesn't remember that part of us. And because of that, in our reading it said, and God will forgive our wickedness and remember no more our sins. But it's really the word that's translated from the Hebrew to the English is for God, because God does these things. God creates a brand new covenant with God's people. We have been studying these covenants over the past 5 weeks. And as Christians, we can see that that new covenant is in Jesus Christ. And God does this for the sake of the relationship, for the sake of life, for the sake of us. Because in our humanness, we cannot not sin. We have a covenantal God whose characteristics when it comes to keeping these covenants is this. We have a God who promises to forgive and not remember. And that is God's unyieldingness, single-mindedness, all of this to be for us. Does God change God's mind when it comes to us in our experiencing life and thriving? Yes. Does God change God's mind when it comes to keeping God's covenant with us, to be for us? No. That is what we have been seeing over these past 5 weeks. We have a God who knows us and who accepts us exactly the way we are. Let's start with the very first lesson, Noah and the water. God did try to destroy sin in the world. But what happened when God destroyed sin? Humanity was destroyed because humans are sinful. So God said, well, I'm going to have a new covenant with you. I am no longer going to destroy anyone. I am not going to destroy the world, humans, creatures, etc. A covenant that God has indeed kept over all these years. Then we heard the covenant that God made, a new identity with Abraham and with Sarai, in which God changed their names, God's people coming into a new life from nothing, from Sarah, who was how old? Do you remember how old she was? 90 years old, my goodness. And from nothing comes life. And the law, we always hear about the law being used as ways to punish us. But what have we learned? That the law is all about life for us. It's life-giving because it's for the other. I won't steal. Well, we take it to the mean, I'm not going to take your things. But it goes even further than that. It means I'm not only going to not take your things, I'm going to help you keep your things. I'm not going to talk bad about you. Well, it goes even further than that. It means, and when someone is talking badly about you, I will talk about you in the kindest ways to understand your actions. God's law for life, not a checklist to see whether or not we're meeting God's expectations, a covenantal gift that's given to us. Last week we heard about God's covenant to David, right? David wants to build a house for God. And God laughs. Are you kidding me here?
Did I ask anybody to build me a house? What is it that the Lord says? I am going to build you a house upon your name, a dynasty. And that is the Son of God, Jesus. That's why we hear all throughout the Gospels, are you the one? Are you David's son? Are you the one that we've been waiting for? And then this week, we hear the most incredible promise and covenant that we could even possibly imagine. God's promise to forgive and remember no more. A promise made and a promise kept in Jesus Christ. If we have a God who forgives sins and remembers no more, who is a covenantal God, who makes and keeps God's promises, if we have a God who conquers the one certainty in our life, do you remember what that certainty was? Death. I can't talk about the taxes, but I can talk about the death. If we have a God who raises us to new life each and every single day, forever, if we have a God who loves us unconditionally, if we have a God who comes to us in Jesus Christ, takes on our skin, Jesus Christ, God incarnate, if we have this kind of a God, and we do have this kind of a God, why wouldn't you want to talk about this? I want to say to my parents, why didn't you tell me that I need to do this? I need to tell people. It was only when I was in my late 40s that I figured out what God was calling me to do. To do the very thing I was told not to do. But why wouldn't you tell people this? Because we have a covenantal God. We have always had a covenantal God. We have always had a God who loves us unconditionally, exactly the way we are. We have a God who makes promises to us and keeps those promises. Why wouldn't we want to tell people that? Amen. Amen.